We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Jack, I'm noticing.
Oh, yeah.
What I would call a soft sucking sound.
Oh, yeah?
Just coming just off of, definitely coming from your feed.
You think it's from my side?
And it sounds like it's maybe just off of camera.
Do you think it's like plumbing or something I should get looked into? Do you think it's picking up on the...
I don't know what it is, but okay. I don't want to be involved. Okay? I want no part of this.
Wow. Well, I can't isolate any specific thing that it might be. It's just me here, a professional podcasting businessman.
Yeah, we're doing professional podcasting.
Doing
it's
our professional
9
podcast. It's 9 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only time that we could find that worked.
Yep.
So we've got business energy.
We've got business energy, yeah.
We both woke up, we put on our businessman hats, yep. And we came down, and we started doing professional business work.
Yep.
Me, you, and Beefcake.
Oh, yeah, and I should say Beefcake is here.
Yeah.
That's my business partner, and welcome to our Zoom meeting, basically.
This is a Zoom meeting.
This is going to be different from the normal episode, just because of the business energy that we're bringing. Like, I want, as a listener, I think you're going to get the most out of it if you think of it not as a fun podcast that you use to distract yourself and get away from the world and get away from the cares of your job or your life, but as sitting in on two businessmen, three businessmen.
Two titans. Zoom, three titans.
Zoom meeting.
Of business. So this is sort of a crash course. This is like, what they teach you in Harvard Business School.
Yes.
Kinda.
Yeah.
If that was a podcast.
Yes, exactly.
So let's get down to business.
Yeah.
What's your first agenda item? Minutes.
Yeah, we'll read the.
Oh. Jack and I start every. Is he okay? Choking?
Turn his head. My business partner needs to vomit on my back.
Why is he grunting so much?
It's hard work trying to poop and eat at the same time.
Yeah, tell me about it, man.
So Beefcake, welcome to the big business meeting. Tanner, I've talked to you about this guy. He's been through a round of interviews.
He's shitting and barfing a lot for
I didn't want to bother you and bring you in on the interview process, and we've all, as partners in this endeavor, we've always trusted each other, so you put me in charge of hiring, and so this is welcome to the company, Synertech.
Welcome to the company. Sorry your dad isn't aware that you don't have developed neck muscles yet.
This is Beefcake. Do you want to say hello to Beefcake?
Hello, sir. You're not great at first impressions, huh?
He's trying to smile.
Okay. And remind me, what's your name again?
Beefcake.
No, I'm asking him.
Oh, sorry.
You're giving me like the stony silent treatment?
First day jitters.
This guy's terrible at interviewing.
Well, this isn't an interview. He's already hired.
Oh, he's hired. Oh, okay.
So we were going to do, Beefcake, why don't you hang
tenured?
Out here? He's making a lot more than you are.
That's not hard.
Beefcake, would you like some of this bottle of soy-based formula? He says,
What'd he say?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to give him some of that while we talk about the minutes from the last meeting.
Jack and I start every single Zoom call we're on with minutes.
Yeah.
From last Zoom call. So what did we talk about last Zoom call?
We talked about the Viscount who was afraid of
bees.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So last week was our Regency week.
Yeah.
Do we want to go over the agenda for this week then?
Yeah, this week I thought for the company we would do Beach Week.
Beach Week?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all wearing like Hawaiian shirts every day. Like someone brought in a kiddie pool full of sand.
I think actually it's...
The Marg cart goes around at 5 o'clock.
It's beach in the sense of beach on like a lonely lake, which is...
Oh, like a pebble beach?
Yeah, probably. It's like not that nice to sit on the beach.
Yeah.
But like,
well, you can still do some fun stuff at a Pebble Beach. Yeah. You can lift up rocks and look for sow bugs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yum
yeah.
those down.
Beefcake would like you, bud.
Crawfish. Mm-hmm. You can skip rocks.
You can skip rocks, yeah.
So I'm going to find the silver lining on whatever stormy dark cloud you put over this podcast today, because your wife is too tired and needed to go to bed, and you need to watch a boy while you podcast a baby boy. I'm going to turn your energy around.
Yeah, turn it around. Turn yeah. it around.
So I am. I am trying to bring infectious positivity to the show this week.
I like
week.
That. Oh.
What's he doing?
No, it's just something's wet.
Yeah, that'll happen with a baby.
Yeah.
The other day, Miles and I were running back and forth between our bedroom and his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he got to his room and he said, "What that water?"
Uh-oh.
And I said, "What water?" He said, and he like looked at his foot and he's like, "There's water." And I looked back and Hercules had done a giant barf right in the middle
sucks.
Of the hallway, and we both stamped through it. And it was just everywhere.
What that water?
What that water?
That's always a bad sign.
Very polite.
Too many chaos mammals.
Too many chaos mammals. Yeah, it's like our yellow sun has gone out and been replaced by a big black sun.
Yeah.
And now there are beings of pure chaos roaming the
yeah.
American Northeast.
No, I went in yesterday. So in the mornings now, Sarah doesn't sleep at night because she's looking after the baby. And then she dumps the baby unceremoniously in his little chair at around 7 a.m. And I take
his poing.
And I take over and that, yeah, his little baby poing. And I will deal with him and then bring him into the other child's room to try to get the other child ready for school. And
yeah.
Yesterday, while I was doing that, like during this brief interval where I opened the door to the part of the house where Cyril and Sarah's room both are, both of my insane cats like ran in, somehow managed to get the door open to Sarah's room and just like started like creating like fucking havoc on her bed. She'd been like asleep for 1 hour total for the night, you know.
That's fine.
I was like, sorry, I've got
they just wanted mommy's
babies.
Attention.
Why, like, why did we surround ourselves with all these fucking creatures like that? Yeah. Are just like,
you need a bigger
house. Have absolutely no sense of decorum.
You two should just like go live in the prairie. Just be yeah. like prairie people, you know, like hunter gatherers.
Yeah,
just like chase a mammoth across the plains, because then you'll have all the room in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a business call.
It's
let's
a
not
business
talk
call.
About our personal
yeah, sorry.
Affairs.
Yeah,
this
sorry.
Has been dad talk.
This has been
but
dad talk.
There's no
yeah.
there's no space or time for that today, because this is a professional business call. It's 9 a.m.
I
literally do have meetings in like an hour.
Okay. Well, let's get down to this week's business.
We got to get down to business. Yeah,
we're going to be talking about.
I'm double booked.
Yes, you're double.
That's what
booked.
You say in the business.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I have a hard out.
Yeah, I have a hard out. I'm yeah. double booked.
I have a hard out. I'm double booked. And let's do what the president of our company used to say at the big important meetings, which is we're going to go around the room today.
Yep.
And we're
yep.
going to say agenda items. If you have an agenda item, we'll put it on the board and we're going to get to it. But only bring up things that are tactical, not strategic, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Or, and I might be remembering this wrong, only bring up things that are strategic, not tactical. I can never remember which it is or what either of those
You do tactical,
mean.
I'll do strategic.
Okay, perfect. Great. Well, I'll start with a tactical.
Yeah, let's start with tactical.
I want to talk about the...
And then we'll ladder up to strategy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about the romance, the sexy romance novel, Beach Read by Emily Henry. Can we,
yeah.
we put a little bit of time on the docket just to kind of go over that, talk about the stuff we like, talk about the sex scenes and the kissing, talk about
yeah.
How they fell in love and how cute it was.
You know, I think you and I are already pretty squeamish about the sex scenes,
yeah.
but in this professional environment,
yeah.
I'm worried about, like, litigation, you know?
Okay, all right, well, we'll gloss past. Okay, that's fine. Okay, but let's just put Beach Read
worth
up, on,
bringing up
on the big okay. board. And then you have something strategic you want to share?
Yeah, I think we should definitely talk about Beach Read. That's a great tactic. Thank
yeah.
you for suggesting that.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm going to plus one that one.
Okay, great.
And strategically, I think we should do it probably about in the next hour or so.
Okay, that seems good. Yeah, okay.
And we should probably do some bits and okay. some like segments.
Okay.
And this is just something, you know, I have a lot of experience in this field and I have a lot of institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
So this is just a suggestion. I'm not trying to be okay. prescriptive. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
What if we didn't have a baby on the show?
We ditched the baby.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to see if Beefcake, our new
take
partner...
it or leave it. Take it or leave it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we'll bring yeah. that up. We'll bring that up when we get to it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And Beefcake, is there anything you want to share to put up on the board? Remember, tactical, not strategic.
He's still just barfing and shitting everywhere when he's not sucking down that bah. Is he sucking down a bah? Or does he just make those sounds all the time?
He makes those sounds all the time. He's recovering okay. from a little bit of a cold. I think it may be part of why mommy didn't sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, so Beefcake, I think, just wants to kind of sit in on this one, learn from the process.
Get back in the cut, Beefcake.
Sit back in the cut, Beefcake. We're glad
watch
we
the
hired
masters
you.
Work, yeah. you know? Watch the alphas.
Okay, so hello and welcome to the big show. The
show is called
meeting.
Strange Bedfellows, yep. and it's this time it's business themed yeah, for some reason because the book's not business themed.
No, it's beach themed. It's not beach
yeah,
themed.
It's beach
even.
Themed. No, it's like small town in. I don't even know where it is. There's a beach.
Yeah, I don't know. Small town,
California. It sounds very distracted.
I'm fine. let's say what happened. Oh, let me say this just right up front. I thought it was fucking fantastic.
The book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great read.
Yeah.
Here's another
very well
thing
written.
I'll
very
say.
Fun to read.
Let me say this.
Very sexy.
This might be controversial.
Yeah.
I realized something reading this book that I don't think I've ever experienced before in books.
That's okay. It's a safe space.
In romance novels.
Safe space. You can say whatever's on your mind.
I think with romance novels, on some level, you're supposed to fall in love with the love interest.
Yeah, I think that's true. I fell in love with this love interest.
I fell in love with January in this.
Okay.
And
you liked January.
Yeah, but it's the first time that's really happened. I've often liked the heroines of these
they're both
novels,
kind of hot messes.
But I really kind of related to and liked, like I could see a future for me in January.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm a broody Gus type.
Are you?
I think so. That's me, okay. man. Come on. He is like yeah. a fucking pretentious elitist at school who like cared about.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's true. And he's always talking about like Jonathan
Franzen. Jonathan
Franzen and stuff like that.
Type shit.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I only listen to REM.
Yeah, he listens to REM. Maybe that's what it is. I'm a Gus type.
Yeah,
you know,
you so, are a Gus type.
Yeah.
So you're just projecting then.
Well, I don't know. I hadn't worked that, my feelings through until just now. But I fell in love with the protagonist.
You know who I am.
In this book?
I really identified with the character too.
Who? Pete?
Haunted Hat.
Haunted Hat. Let's say what happens in the book. It's a fun one. It's really fun, folks. It's beach read. It's Emily Henry. Everyone loved it. It was a sensation.
Yeah, it was a sensation, and that's why we picked it. And we, it turns out when you just do what everyone tells you to do, and
yeah.
you don't pick.
I mean, I knew this.
Harem gamer lit fiction.
Yeah, I knew this.
You find some real gems.
Tanner, it was like pulling teeth to get Tanner. I can't remember if we recorded our process. I don't think we did. But Tanner and I tried to pick a book together for once, and I got to witness his process, which was insane.
Yeah.
He just finds like the first cover that is interesting to him, and it's usually like, got a vampire with a sword on it. And it's like, no, this isn't what we're... That looks interesting, but it's not what we're doing.
Doesn't that look cool?
And so yeah. I was like, here's how I do it. And I Googled, like, what's the best fucking romance that has come out in the last couple of years? Absolute best, top-notch, best one. And there are a yeah. bunch of lists, and I looked at all of them, and all of them had Beach Read on the list.
Yeah.
And I agree. It's definitely one of the best ones we've read. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too.
Well, let's say what happens. January, it's not January Jones, but
it's not the
going
month.
To have to call her January Jones throughout this, because I just... don't know. Oh, isn't that that's an actress, right?
That is an actress. Yeah, yeah. She played
the Ice Woman.
Ice Woman.
Yeah.
Next man.
Her name is January, and she's got a fatal flaw, a hamartia, as we say in the lit crit business.
Yes,
we
she's named to. After a month.
Yeah, no, that's not the flaw.
Oh, okay.
And hamartia, as you know, is...
Is he okay?
He's
Sounds
fine.
Like he's crying.
He just, like, he has trouble. He's like, I don't know. He just doesn't have that many... He doesn't have a range of noises he can make. I'm talking about hamartia. Do you ever do that shit? Surely in, like, intro to English, you did, like, what are the fucking three... Anagnorisis, hamartia, the Shakespearean shit. There's a fatal flaw. There's, like, a
What are you saying?
Greek stuff.
Hamartia?
Yeah. Google it.
I don't... Ham Martia?
No, Hamartia. Google it.
Okay. Hamartia.
Say what it is.
A fatal flaw leading to the downfall of a tragic hero or heroine.
There we go.
This is an Achilles heel.
Yeah, there we go.
For instance.
And so her fatal flaw is that she believes in happy endings, I think, isn't it?
She's a romantic, yes. She believes in happy endings despite the fact that her life has been hellish. She's
been
a young woman.
Yeah.
She's like in her, I don't know.
Late 20s. I think. Yeah.
And both of her parents have had cancer. One of them has passed, and she's discovered that her dad had a secret second family.
Yeah. So basically she...
Oh, and he's died. So she can't even like...
They struggled with her mom's cancer throughout her young life, but she beat the cancer. And so that caused January to believe that like everything will be all right in the end. And then her dad suddenly died and he left a secret house, and the secret house was the secret house that he had had with his secret lover and affair. And so now January is like, what the fuck? I thought we had this perfect happy family. I thought happiness was real. And then my dad died and it turns out he was cheating on my mom, even though they seemed like they had a happy life and romance was real. And now romance is dead, but I'm broke, so I have to live in the house.
And I have to finish writing a romance book.
Right, which is what I do. And then the book becomes this intricate Hellraiser-type puzzle where it's like, it's a book about a book. It's a process about a process. It's writing about writing. The books in the books are not the books that's the book. And he's writing her book and she's writing his book.
She's writing his book, yeah. Woo! And he's a grumpy old sort of like
he's a grumpy
Jonathan Franzen type. He writes about like sad white men.
Lo and behold, this one's funny. She meets him and they have like their meet cute is like, they're mad at each other immediately because he's her neighbor and he's playing Everybody Hurts Too Loud.
Yeah, it's like it's his birthday and it's his birthday party and
he's playing fucking Everybody Hurts and like on repeat. And it's too loud. And she, what is the insult she says to him? Coldly horny.
Yeah, she calls him coldly horny, which he is.
She's like, I bet you read Jonathan Franzen and you're coldly horny.
Yeah.
So she's got him kind of pegged. All right, yeah. Jesus.
What is up with that kid?
I think
he wants to get involved.
Himself. Let's see if he pooped or shat himself.
Okay.
Or peeped himself. Now you say the book.
Okay, and then so here's the other thing: is she moves into this house and she immediately meets this woman named Pete who runs the local coffee shop / bookstore.
I'm just going to move my mic over here while I change the baby. Do you think this is the first ever baby change on a podcast?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Okay, well, you can. Well, I don't know if you can watch, but you can hear.
She invites her to a book club, and the lover, her dad's lover, is there. So that creates some tension.
Yeah.
So she flees, and she sort of befriends Gus, her next door neighbor, who she actually knew in college, and he reveals that he remembers her from college as well, and they decide that he is a grumpy old jaded contemporary fiction writer who's so glum and bleak, and she's like this hopeless romantic bright spark of light. So they're gonna swap books. They both have a book due, and they're gonna swap books just as like a writing exercise.
Yeah, he like makes fun of her like romances. He's like, there's no such thing as happily ever after. And
right,
she doesn't, a thing that I liked about this novel is that she doesn't do the thing where they like have to pretend that they hate each other the whole time.
Yeah, like, they kind of become buds.
Like, even though, like, there is, like, an adversarial thing between them, and, like, there's this clear tension where he's, like, Jonathan Franzen, and she's, like, you know, Danielle Steele.
Right.
But, like, we dispense with that bullshit pretty early. They're obviously friends, and they admit that they're friends, even though they're, you know, they like razz each other.
But he starts to make some moves pretty quickly. Like, he gets pretty like chummy with her, you know, like a lot of touching. A lot of light touching.
So, yeah, she's like, he's like, well, you could never do what I do. And she's like, you could never do what I do. And they agree to write each other's style, where he will write a book with a happy ending and she will write a, like, sad book about, like, how life is a meaningless march to the grave.
Yeah, yeah. So they do that.
Yeah. And there's a cult.
And there's a cult that lived in the town. That's why he's here, because in the 90s, there was like a Waco-style cult.
Yeah.
That, like, there was a big fire and a bunch of people died. So he's here investigating the cult and talking to all the people who are in the cult.
Yeah.
So she keeps tagging along on these interviews, too, which are just, like, brutal.
Yeah. No, it's pretty intense. Like, it's just people being like, I lost my wife to the cult.
Yeah.
There were beatings.
And my children.
But it's good. And it's like, I don't know. It's part of what's good about this book is like she has in an afterword that she I don't know if you read it, but she's like, this book came from me having writer's block. And it was literally the only thing I could figure out to write about was having writer's block. And it's basically a book about writer's block.
Yeah.
But like the cult people being in this book, which is a very airy, breezy, sweet, lovely romance.
Yeah.
Like it kind of mimics that process of like, well, what if I put this kind of person in my book?
Yeah.
What if I introduce some tragedy into this romance?
Let's spin the big wheel and see what kind of person I should add to my book. And I got cultists this week.
Yeah. And this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got cultists.
I got Muppets, but then I re-spinned it because I couldn't figure out how to get the Muppets to work.
And so we put some cultists. But it's, you know, it's still pretty light and airy. And then his book is like, I don't know, his book is weird. They don't describe it until the end.
Yeah, his is about, wait, whose is about the circus? His.
Oh, no, hers is about the circus. And
hers is about the circus.
Yeah, it's confusing. This is why, so the cultists are in his book and in Emily Henry's book.
Yes.
In this book.
In the
but
larger book.
Our protagonist January must interview the cultists because she's learning about how to be Jonathan Franzen from him. They do like normally like the shitty version of this would be like we're gonna do sex class on Friday because neither of us know how to love, but we really hate
each
other.
They do some light sex classing.
Yeah,
like they go
bit
to
later.
The drive-in movie theater and they like boink
they make
in
out.
The trunk.
Yeah.
And then some lady comes and she's like, you can't boink in the trunk.
You can't.
And they're like, watch us. And they shut the trunk.
Yeah. That's good.
So they keep up this thing where like they're meeting, like they're working together every day. They're meeting like once a week to go on these like dates that are like research trips. And they're writing their books. And meanwhile, January is trying to like sort through the like her life. She's no longer speaking to her mother because... Well, I think she's severely depressed is why.
Well, yeah, but she's mad at her mom for, like, keeping it from her that her dad was cheating.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the book, right?
Pretty much the book, yes. She finds a bunch of letters from her dad and, like, you know, forgives her dad for being a deadbeat.
Yeah.
And she sort of makes peace with the lady.
Yeah, they sort it out. She realizes that life is a little bit messier than you expected, but people ultimately have good intentions.
She's got a best friend.
She's got a best friend who's funny. Who's
Shoddy.
In love with this guy called the Haunted Hat.
The Haunted Hat. And that actually brings me to my first name generator. My only name generator, I should
say. Okay, great. So they do... Well, I'll explain it, I guess. Unless you have a passage you want to read to explain it.
I could read the passage where he's introduced.
Sure, that sounds great.
It's not a grow house, I told Shoddy. Oh, so Shoddy's like convinced that it's like a sex dungeon or that they're growing weed here.
Right, at this secret mistress house
at the
that she's
mistress house, yeah.
ended up at.
It's not a grow house, I told Shoddy, and slid open the back door to step out onto the deck. Unless the weed's in the basement. No way, Shoddy argued. That's where the sex dungeon is. Let's stop talking about my depressing life, I said. What's new with you? You mean the Haunted Hat? Shoddy said. If only she had fewer than four roommates in her shoebox apartment in Chicago, then maybe I'd be staying with her now. Not that I was capable of getting anything done when I was with Shoddy, and my financial situation was too dire not to get something done. I had to finish my next book in this rent-free hell. Then maybe I could afford my own Jacques-free place. Oh, yeah, she's also recently broken up with...
a guy who seemed like he was a happily ever after type of guy. A guy who's too much the romance novel archetype. Though, in fact, what you and I know is that's not actually true. Like, maybe romance movie archetype, like whimsical Owen Wilson type of dude. But the romance novels we read, the men are almost always...
deeply flawed.
Kind of broken, Jonathan Franzen types.
Yes. Yeah.
So, anyway.
A lot of Jonathan Franzen pulsing through, not just this novel, but all the novels.
Yeah.
And I think that's originally what drew us to the genre.
Oh, man, I laughed so hard. Beefcake just, like, lost his shit. He was like, what? What? What is it?
Then maybe I could afford my own Jacques-free place. If the Haunted Hat is what you want to talk about, I said, then yes, spill. Still hasn't spoken to me, Shoddy sighed with... still hasn't spoken to me, Shoddy sighed wistfully. But I can, like, sense him looking at me when we're both in the kitchen because we have a connection. His name was Ricky, but we never called him that. We always spoke of Shoddy's love life in code. Yeah, he just wears... he wears, like, an old, like, bowler hat.
Yeah. It sounds pretty lame.
It's later discovered that... Are you worried at all that your connection isn't with the guy who's wearing the antique pork pie hat, but perhaps the ghost of the hat's original owner? What will you do when you realize you've fallen in love with a ghost?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
And
that's
we actually
a good
talked about that.
General. Yeah.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago on the ghost episode.
Right.
Right.
We
like
know
having
what you
sex
do.
With a ghost and whether or not...
we know what you do when you've fallen in love with the ghost is you find a medium.
Right. And you
make out with her.
And I think that's what he's done.
And then you find his killer.
The medium in this case, though, is just an antique pork pie hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
not
kind of
Whoopi
awesome.
Goldberg.
I want to read that. I loved this book, but I did often feel like I kind of want to read the novel that's about Shoddy and the Haunted Hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that's the sequel because we know how these romance books work, you know.
Yeah. So we're doing a name generator.
What is your? Pejorative nickname
as new boyfriend of best friend.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah,
try
yeah.
to imagine yourself. It's something everyone has always wanted. You know, this is a little bit of fantasy casting here. You know, some people want to wonder what they were like if they were on the Avengers or, you know, if they
right.
were
yeah,
in,
yeah.
in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah. I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm a Hufflepuff and, you know, you're a Slabberin and, but what if this one, what if you are the kind of throwaway new boyfriend of the protagonist of a novel's best friend. And what would your pejorative nickname be? And won't that be fun?
Yeah. And I think what you do is you pick like, I think I will pick your biggest like affect.
Okay.
Your biggest affectation. And that is sort of where I'll hone in.
Okay. Perfect.
Laser focus. So you're obviously Jorts.
Jorts. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm dating Jorts. I went to Jorts' place.
Okay, something Jorts. So we just need an adjective. Pedantic?
Pedantic Jorts. That's pretty good.
That's
man,
pretty
if
good.
Someone said, like, if we were in the White House together and someone was, like, speaking into their, like, cuff and they're like,
yeah.
Pedantic Jorts is on the move, I'd be like, oh, that's got to be Jack.
Oh, my God, Jack is president? Holy shit. I have not been paying attention to politics. Okay. Well, so I think, can we do like, is there a name for like the very specific J. Crew button down that you have like seven of?
I think it's an Oxford.
Okay. Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then we just need, I don't know, is there a word for it? Like the trait that jumped to mind, and you know, you're a man of many features, but the one that jumped to mind is the thing where no matter. Bubble butt Oxford.
Oxford bubble butt.
I was going to say, no matter what is going on, you think about what the worst possible case scenario.
Yeah, I call it catastrophizing.
Okay, so the catastrophizing...
I'm working on it. I'm working on walking the middle path. That's a skill I'm trying to
that's
learn.
A thing?
Yeah, walking the middle path.
I've noticed. You seem to be less catastrophizing lately, and it's really nice. It suits you.
Yeah.
It suits you like those Oxfords. So what about the catastrophizing Oxfords?
That's pretty good. I like... Actually, that sounds impressive, you know? It makes me sound complex.
That's cool.
Sophisticated.
Oh, there he goes. Okay, so just a
big
little
barf.
Let's get back to the business meeting. So this is a tactical. Tactical.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can we put this up on the board?
Off topic.
I want to discuss what you think we should do in the near term. You know, I'm not talking about quarterly projections. I'm talking about, you know, today even.
Okay.
What you think we should
week
do
over week
about the fact that our new colleague has just vomited all the way down my back.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of
I've been
soy
in this situation
formula.
A lot before, especially after like holiday parties.
Yeah.
It
was warm, but now it's not. So it's just kind of a clammy wetness down my back.
Recommend is you quickly leave and never admit that it was you.
Okay.
Like the person who threw up all over our office did.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
one,
that
time
one time
after the holiday party
it was
in
so
like 2013.
Famous. Nobody ever found out who it was, right? Or did somebody know?
No, I don't think so. The kitchen, the like canteen in our office, there was just like barf everywhere the day after the holiday party. And like everyone was like pre-gaming at the office before we went to this bar that the office rented out.
Yeah.
And the next day we came in and there was just barf everywhere. And no one would confess.
Oh, those were the days. That's where your VC money goes.
That's where your VC
money goes. Andreessen Horowitz.
Yeah. I think like a year later at the next holiday party, there was an inch of standing beer on the ground at Webster Hall, which we rented out. And someone slipped and broke, like their tooth came out of their head.
Oh, yeah. Famous. Famous.
Yeah. We had some bad holiday parties.
Yeah. Pretty bad. Can I talk about the first holiday party? Were you there for it?
The one where we all
the white
smoked
elephant?
Weed and shotgun beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, like not, that's not, I'm not saying that that's cool.
I mean, it felt pretty cool at the time.
I'm not saying it's not cool. But the reason that I think it's interesting is I had only been at the company for a few months, and Tanner maybe only a month.
I would have been there like 2 months. Yeah.
And there was a white elephant party, and one of the white elephant gifts was like a dime bag
of weed. It was provided by a guy who's he was an investor and advisor at the company, and he's like, you would recognize his name.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a very famous name.
We won't say it, but it was it was like, it's a hilarious thing to bring to a white elephant, especially an office white elephant party, because everyone was like scandalized, and they're like, oh no, I don't know how we're supposed to react to this. But then like everybody wanted the pot for a white elephant. We ended up with it. And then we also, like, in a way that I think we'd forgotten, like, all the grown-ups left, like, at, like, 11. And the kids...
The people with kids.
...remained. And we had maybe forgotten that we had agreed, because it was, like, early Web 2.0, that we were live-streaming holiday party to the web.
Because we thought people would be into that, right? We're so fun and quirky. People just want to sit at home and watch.
But I definitely like woke up the next day with like the scariest like case of the yips hangover I've ever had, where I was like, not only am I very hungover after the office holiday party, but I live streamed all of my like antics for all to see, including my bosses who literally went home to their babies and like watched their new employees
on the big screen. Like, yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of interesting. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to take my colleague to... I've got this... He's got
You two clean yourselves
up. He insisted on bringing his own chair, which is I thought was a little bit of a warning sign.
Oh, that's kind of cool, but it's actually. Like, I might start doing that.
He lies down in it, and you plug it in, and it like moves back and forth.
Oh, that actually sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds very Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah. I'm also going to change my shirt. We're going to be back after this little break.
All right.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey, everybody. It's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the Evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Ring, 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 ring.
Oh, I guess Tanner, the phone's ringing. Do you mind if I just pick this up and then we'll get back?
Yeah, you're being very disruptive this episode.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
First the baby, and now you're like answering calls.
I normally have my phone just set to buzz, but it's like ringing pretty loud.
While you're answering the phone, I'm gonna eat some candy live on mic.
Perfect. People love that. Hello?
Yeah. Oh, hello. Hey. I'm also eating candy.
Who?
I'm not Tanner.
How do you know Tanner's eating candy?
Premonition.
Okay.
So listen.
Yeah, who's this?
Horny Tanner.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we heard Tanner. That you needed the two lewd branding consultants to come in and help figure out some terminology for boobs.
Yes. Yeah. We were hoping, because we're not horny enough. Regular Tanner and I'm regular Jack, aren't horny enough to even really want to talk about it.
Yeah. 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 It says here on the RFP, the request for a proposal you've got here.
Yeah.
I tipped my head against the window.
Yes.
At this point, it honestly might be easier for me to pack it in on the upbeat women's fiction and hop aboard the bleak literary fiction train. At least it would give me an excuse to describe boobs in some horrifying new way, like bulbous succulents of flesh and sinew.
Okay.
I never get to say bulbous succulents of flesh and sinew in my books.
Mm. Okay.
I love the thought starters you've sent over. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring in my colleague, Horny Jack, now, too. And we're going to help workshop some of these. I love where you've started. Great start.
Yeah, this is Horny Jack weighing in. If I could just weigh in. I love what you guys have done. Pendulous chest orbs was a really great suggestion, and it's a great place for us to start.
And nothing gets me hornier than bulbous succulents of flesh and sinew. Oh, God, I'm hard as a rock just reading that sentence.
But I think we can punch this up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. We're here to help. And excuse the candy eating. It's my last piece.
Okay.
Mm, robin's eggs.
Robin's eggs. That's actually really nice. I think that's already a thing. I think it's a thing that's already used sometimes.
What?
To describe.
Oh, no, sorry. That's what I'm eating.
Okay.
And not the eggs.
You're not actually eating robin's eggs. You're eating a type
of candy.
Okay. But that's a good place to start for boobs, I thought.
Yeah, okay. We'll put it on the board. We'll put it on the whiteboard. No bad ideas in a brainstorm, you know?
Okay, so do we want something sexy? Is that what's happening here? We want something particularly
sexy? Well, no,
sexy?
Because She's giving up on upbeat women's fiction, and she's writing bleak literary fiction.
So we want something bleak and literary to describe it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about... what's something that hangs?
Is there a thesaurus for, like, seven-syllable words?
Okay, how about this? What about this? Skin-covered dangle dumplings.
Skin-covered dangling dumplings.
Dangle dumplings.
Unfortunately, I think Jonathan Franzen has trademarked that.
Okay, that's in the corrections.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think people would say, like, what are you doing? You're ripping off Franzen.
Yeah, ripping off Franzen. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Again.
So I don't think we can do that.
Okay.
How about like...
Fleshy?
I think they're mostly fat.
Fat, okay.
So maybe we can say, like, lipid?
Yeah. Sebaceous?
Oh, sebaceous is good.
I think that means, like, oily.
Yes, perfect. So sebaceous lipid somethings.
Yeah.
Something sort of academic.
We can't use dangle dumplings because of Franzen.
We can't use dangle dumplings. He's got, like, the whole merch line.
Yeah.
You said orbs earlier. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. I said pendulous
I think we want to make it as unappealing as possible.
And
actually,
orbs comes up in romance too much. It's not
too much, and it's confusing. Are we talking about eyes? Are we talking about boobs?
Yeah.
It's so hard to know. Or balls sometimes. Mine are orbs, orb shape.
Bulbous was good. She used that.
Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaurs. That, unfortunately, that's Foster Wallace.
Yeah. So, what was your word?
Sebaceous. I think it means
sebaceous
oily.
Lipid bulbs.
Let's look for a synonym for bulbs.
I started searching thesaurus of academic terms. There's got to be something like that, right?
Yeah.
How about snob thesaurus?
Snob thesaurus? That's a really good idea. Protuberance.
Protuberance?
Yes. That's
okay.
Something. Sebaceous protuberance is pretty good.
Sebaceous protuberance of lipids. At least it would give me an excuse to describe boobs in some horrifying new way, like sebaceous protuberance of lipids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sebaceous
I never
lipid.
Get to say that.
You can use lipid as an adjective, I think.
Can you?
Yeah, why the fuck not?
I don't know. I'm not even sure what it means. Oils, waxes, organic.
Lipidic. Lipidic. So
lipidic.
Sebaceous lipidic protuberance.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Okay, folks, regular Jack, regular Tanner, come back. I think you're going to really love this. We put together a little deck for you.
Yeah. We're trying to be horny, obviously.
Yeah.
We can't not be horny.
Yeah.
We're talking about the most beautiful part of a person's body.
Yeah.
Jack?
Yeah.
Horny Jack?
Yes.
Take it from here.
Yeah, and we wanted to convey the sweet smoothness that can sometimes come across as being oily, especially when sweat is involved, because that's pretty sexy.
And the oiliness, too.
And the oiliness.
We don't want to discount the oiliness.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to convey the fact that they can be round and sort of soft to the touch.
Pokey-outy.
Yep. And also, the pokey-outiness was very important to us. So what we've got for you guys is sebaceous lipidic protuberances.
Oh god.
Okay. They're perfect. I was thinking while we're bringing in some guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't had a visit from these guys in a long time.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember you do because you wanted to talk about them last week, but we didn't have time. Our old friends, our kissing consultant.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Kiss.
Yes. And
so I'm Mr. Kiss.
You're Mr.
And
Kiss.
Who are you?
I'm Monsieur Francais, but it's pronounced it's pronounced French.
French, yeah.
And
Monsieur French. And so the trick to French is you just say things like a French accent, and you always leave the last letter off.
Yeah, that's how you do it. And we like to talk about how the kissing is done, and this book gave us some interesting kissing techniques, and I just wanted to kind of go over it.
I want to get into character.
Yeah.
It's like whiplash. Like, I just moved from horny Tanner to back to regular Tanner, and now you want me to be Mr. Kiss?
Can you remind me because we have, like, a pretty extensive backstory, don't we?
Mr. Kiss is like a Doctor Who-like character who can travel through space-time, and you are, like, his companion. Dr. Kiss is the greatest kisser in
Dr.
all
Kiss
of... Mr. Kiss is the greatest kisser in all of time and history and the entire cosmos.
Yeah.
And Monsieur Franck
is kind of an academic. He's studied it but hasn't tried it.
Yeah, and he's really into Frenching.
Yeah.
Which is closer to sex than kissing, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it's penetration.
It is penetrative, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Perfect.
That's where we're at. Yeah. What was the passage that we want to analyze?
Let me read this to you. It was that night at the drive-in, times 10. At the drive-in, they've been watching.
Oh, I think also, by the way, that may have happened on the Patreon show. I'm pretty sure it happened in a Sweet Valley episode. It may have been the few Sweet Valley High books we read for the main series here.
So wait, these guys don't even exist on our actual show?
That's the thing about trans-dimensional characters like Mr. Kiss, you know? He exists in all places at all times.
Perfect. Okay, so for a lot of people, in fact, for most people, for 90% of listeners, this is your first introduction. Possibly.
It's your first taste.
To these guys. Yeah. And you're meeting them mid.
And it's also a good excuse to go check out the Patreon. Yeah. Sign up. You know, you can get a little bit more history and backstory behind these characters.
You're meeting
rich characters.
Mid lore.
Yeah.
They have a highly developed lore.
But, you know, that's true of Doctor Who, too. Yeah. A lot of people came in on Christopher Eccleston
or
David Tennant, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's pretty
decades
wild.
Of content before that.
But all you really need to know is that they're kissing experts.
Yeah.
And well, they're going to help you figure out how to do it. And so this book gives us some guidance. And let's bring in our guys to kind of weigh in on it. And I'll read you the passage. It was that night at the drive-in times 10. They'd gone to the drive-in to see a Meg Ryan movie. I don't know if they say which one. I hope it was Addicted to Love. Isn't that a fun one?
I hope it was City of Angels.
No, that's sad.
Let's watch City of Angels for next week.
No, that's sad. They die on a bike.
I don't care. Is this a romance novel?
It's not. I do want to mostly just talk about the Goo Goo Dolls for a whole episode.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, let's say that it's Addicted to Love with John Cusack. It's such a fun film and no one ever talks about it. Let's do that next week. It was that night at the drive-in times 10 because now I knew how he felt on top of me. So that's already... I think you should be standing up for kissing, frankly.
Yeah, I think if you're sitting on someone, it's hard to...
Yeah. Anyway, now I knew what the scrape of his jaw against my skin did to me.
Hurt, I imagine.
So he's like rubbing his jaw against her chin. How his tongue...
probably got stubble, you know?
Yeah. I think some people like
every time
that.
I try to kiss my boy when I'm a little stubbly, he said, no, I don't like your face scratchy.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And please clean the dog's vomit off my feet. It's been 2 days.
It's the dog's job.
I knew what the scrape of his jaw against my skin did to me, how his tongue would test the gaps between our mouths. Is that kissing?
That actually seems... I don't think we're even into the kissing yet.
So actually, now that I think
there's
about
a little
it,
gap between their mouths.
So their mouths
and
are
he's
not...
like sort of a snake. Yeah. You know, that's how he like sees and smells.
They're not touching at all. So this seems fine. It's not Frenching. This is actually something that you and I can agree on, Mr. Kiss, my faithful companion.
Let me see if this picks up on the mic.
Yeah. It's the perfect happy medium between Frenching and not doing that because the tongue is coming out, but it's not going in.
Sorry, Monsieur French. I don't know why you're invoking me right now.
Okay.
We have not gotten to the kissing.
Okay.
And I'm not interested. I'm sort of this this cold, like uncaring, like Dr. Manhattan type.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
So
you don't have
until you
don't get activated.
We get to the kissing.
Okay.
This is so far beneath me that it doesn't even register.
Okay, you can't even see it. Okay, that's fine. His tongue would test the gaps between our mouths, taste the soft skin at the top of my chest. That's not kissing, that's tasting.
That's not kissing, it's tasting. Yeah, and it's also in line with something a snake might do.
Yeah. I was jealous he'd had more of me than I'd had of him. I wanted to kiss his stomach. That's kissing.
Okay, now we're getting into my territory.
Okay.
Step one.
Great, kiss the stomach.
No, that's wrong.
Step two, sink my...
You want to kiss a mouth.
Step two, sink my teeth into his hips. I think they're both snakes.
I'm back
snakes.
Out.
Yeah. I think this is snakes.
This is snake play. Yeah.
Mr. Kiss, I'm so sorry I brought you here. This is snakes. It's not kissing.
No, I'm an expert on all kissing.
I thought it was kissing, but it's just snakes.
Whether it's snakes or people or whatever. But, you know, all we've seen is one little stomach kiss, which isn't even the right way to kiss. Although I don't know much about snake anatomy. Do they have lips on their stomach? Do they have stomachs?
Do snakes have lips? Do we have any snake scientists who listen to the show?
Probably.
I mean, I think...
Let us know if snakes have lips, and if so, where are they on their body?
Yeah, great. Step three. So sink my teeth into his hips, dig my fingers into his back, and drag them down the length of him. That's Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah. Wine Dine 69 Me. Yeah. And that's also from the Patreon.
Yeah, I hope she feels it. I hope she feels it.
Patreon.com/BSE.
No, I hope he feels it. I hope Dave Coulier feels it.
Yeah, me too. I hope he feels it, us talking about it.
I think he does every time. That's his curse.
He's like Dorian Gray, except every time someone mentions that he's the guy from that Alanis Morissette song, like some portrait of him, like Wines, Dines, and 69's even harder.
Is that the line in the song? I think you've invented that line is in the song. She doesn't say that. She says,
Yeah, she does.
Every time I scratch my fingers down someone else's back, I hope you feel it. Well, do you feel it, Dave Coulier?
Wine, Dine, 69, me.
She doesn't
and then
say
you play
that.
Golf for a while.
She does not say that. There's no way
Here.
She says that.
You took me for a joke. You took me for a child. You took a long, hard look at my ass and then played golf for a while. Your shake is like a fish. You pat me on the head. You took me out to Wine, Dine, 69, me.
Oh, really?
But didn't hear a damn word I said.
She says 69.
And that's from Right Through You, the Alanis Morissette hit.
So it's not from You Ought to Know.
No, it's not from. I'm talking about the deep cuts.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about the shit they play on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Alanis Morissette is my REM.
Okay, perfect.
That's what I'm playing on my birthday as I'm sitting outside alone while everyone parties in my house.
REM is my REM, and I loved how much REM was in this book. That's another thing I liked about it. That, you know, I fell in love with January, and I fell in love a little bit with Emily Henry. I probably shouldn't say that. Maybe we'll have her on the show one day.
Well, you could confess your love to her.
I have a strong professional regard for writer Emily Henry, who did a good job with this one. Let's
Monsieur,
finish
and
this.
You're speaking as Monsieur French, right?
Yeah, well, I will. Because
then I think you're fine.
I will when I reach out to invite her to be on the show. I wanted to kiss his stomach, sink my teeth into his hips like a snake, et cetera, et cetera. His hand slid toward my spine. Skidding
very
up
sneaky
it.
Sneaky language.
Skidding up it. That's like, what's that?
That's Predator.
That's Predator. I was thinking it's like those little skateboards that people have with their fingers.
Tech deck?
Yeah.
So Predator tech decked up her spine.
As I folded over him, my nose skated down his.
Okay, and then she took the tech deck and skated down his nose.
So I don't think this is kissing either. If you skate your nose
no,
down...
No, this isn't even kissing. Why did you bring this up?
I could almost taste his cinnamon breath from his open mouth. His right hand came back to the side of my face, roaming lightly down to my collarbone, then back to my mouth, where his tense fingers pressed into my bottom lip. This is not kissing.
No,
Mr. Kiss,
kissing.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
let's
so
move
sorry.
On.
Let's... Please take me with
now.
You back to the moon.
I'm going to go to a space station at the end of time to watch the cosmos blink out.
I have a small garret apartment just outside of Paris where I live by myself with my goldfish. And
listen,
my
TARDIS only carries one person. It's actually much smaller on the inside than it looks from the outside.
Okay, well,
there's barely room in there for me.
See you next time. I love you.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Okay, good to hear from
Jack,
those
you
guys.
Jack, you want
to
do Freak of the Week?
Yeah, we got a segment we call Freak of the Week.
I think we're still kind of trying to find the right way to discuss this, but essentially, we find the freak.
We find the freak
of the week.
We find the freak, and we mean it in a good
Someone
way.
Someone who's into
in a good way.
The kinky stuff.
Let's get freaky.
Let's get freaky. We do mean it in a good
way.
We
mean it in the get your freak on kind
I'm
of
I'm keeping
way.
Notes on this stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try that
I love
next
it.
Time. I'm
yeah.
making love.
Okay, perfect. Let's say it.
Again, the words came gushing out of me like I'd needed to say them all year. Or maybe they were just a welcome diversion from the other conversation we'd been having. They went to this carnival at a local Catholic church, I said. Not together. She's explaining to Gus about her parents, mm-hmm. how her parents met. Not together, like they went separately to the same carnival. And then they ended up standing in line next to each other at that Esmeralda thing. You know, the animatronic psychic in a box? Oh, I know her well, I said. She was one of my first crushes. This dude fucked that machine, didn't he?
Wow. So that's Esmeralda is like a bit. It's like big, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was Zoltan, I think.
Yeah, but it's like the like lady version, of
sexy
Zoltan.
Lady version of it, and wow. He did it. He like
that's
he
good.
Was like rutting.
That's like you if know? You know how like they pornify movies.
Yeah.
Have you pornified big? You wouldn't have to change the name at all.
Oh no, no, no.
But it's just like the.
That would be complicated, huh?
But, yeah.
So, yeah, he fucked this machine, and yes. He's a freak of the week.
Yeah, he's our freak of the week this week.
Can we quickly do Kinetichek, too, while we're here?
Yeah, we just have a quickly segment. While we're here. We'll say it the way you say it.
Yeah, okay. So I live in Connecticut, and I know everything about the state yeah. And everything about the people who live here because I live in the state, and I am a person who lives here.
And this is a segment we call Kinetichek.
Kinetichek.
Yeah. Oh, I heard. I'll get my baby.
Yeah, he wants to weigh in on this.
He wants. So we're coming to the end of the meeting, and we don't like to run over because we both have hard out.
No, we have to do closing statements.
But I do want Beefcake to have his say here, so I'm going to bring him in, and he really wanted to hear about the Kinetichek.
Yeah. A lot of buildup for a pretty quick segment, I'm going to say. All right. I'm glad we really built this up.
Yeah.
This is going to be
all right.
Quick.
Let's hear from the junior partner first, real fast.
Yeah. And now he clams up. What's he saying?
He's crying.
Jesus, you don't do that in a business setting.
Oh, and he pooped himself.
Oh, okay. We should probably wrap this up, huh?
Why don't you hit me with a Kinetichek, and I'm going to change this diaper
this
while you do it.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard the soft clink of ice against the glasses. He kept ice in a bucket on a tray with his liquor. How moneyed Connecticutian of him. And I just quickly wanted to say we don't do that.
We don't say that. We don't. Oh, you
we,
don't
we
do
just
that.
Don't do that. We don't put ice in a bucket on a tray with the liquor.
Well, it's moneyed though.
Well, I've got.
Oh yeah.
I got some money. I've got like.
Enough.
I think I got like $40 in the car.
Okay.
I keep my money in the car. Is that a bad idea?
I mean, it's a bad idea to announce it on a podcast. I think.
Yeah. So bleep that. I keep my money in a. Here, I'll do a, just a clean. Take of the word safe, and you can patch it in over.
Perfect. I'll just run that back. Okay.
Yeah.
Say safe.
So everywhere I say car, say put in me saying this word.
Okay.
Safe. Hey, Dad, I better off than me. I keep my money in the safe. Is that a bad idea?
Perfect.
Including all the parts where we were sort of like figuring out the best approach here.
Yeah.
The best tactical approach. Yeah. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be the strategy guy, but...
No, that's okay. Okay, and so you've been Kinetichek'd, Emily Henry. They don't do that.
Yeah, you've been Kinetichek'd. Hey, why don't you fucking do your research? Come up here and visit sometime. It's a lovely state. You ever heard of Danbury? Yeah, a train museum.
Issue of tactical significance for our company going forward and with this new hire. He has just fully shat himself.
Okay.
And he's allowing me to... I've taken his pants off and I am wiping it off.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't... It's not how I envisioned, you know...
This meeting, how the meeting was going to go?
On me, he's peeing on me and himself.
Yeah,
he's peeing on everything.
Feel the rain on your skin. No one else will feel it for
on
you.
Everything.
Only
it's
you
everywhere.
Can let you in. No one else. No one else.
It's all over everything.
Is it getting all over your podcast equipment?
No, I've got him on this cool. I've moved the mic in a really cool way.
Yeah,
and he's like perfectly happy now, even though he's feeling the rain on his. This is a technical term. We call it betting field.
This is a business, like a business thing.
Yeah, we like to do it at the end of
jargon.
Meetings. It's called betting fielding.
I teach you this in Harvard Business School.
I don't know. I just he's pissed all over himself, this guy.
Yeah. Should we wrap it up?
Should we do a quick burp? It's our.
Oh yeah.
Burn of the week.
Burn of the week.
I'll say mine real fast, and then you can say yours, and maybe try to read us out. Well, no, I'll need to read this out because I know what we're doing next week. Here's my burn. Ready? Anyway, I said, still fighting a blush. You never told me what you write, Everett. I'm sure it's something really groundbreaking and important. totally new and fresh, like a story about a disillusioned white guy wandering the world, misunderstood and coldly horny. A laugh barked out of him. Coldly horny? As opposed to the very artfully handled sexual proclivities of your genre? Tell me, which do you find more fascinating to write, love-struck pirates or love-struck werewolves?
We haven't read either of those yet.
And now I was seething again. Well, it's not really about me so much as what my readers want. What's it like writing Hemingway circle jerk fan fiction? Do you know all your readers by name?
That's pretty good.
That's funny, man. That's a good interchange bit. Do you know all your readers by name after Hemingway circle jerk fan fiction? It fucking rules.
Yeah, pretty good. So I'm realizing now that the passage I captured as my burn isn't a burn. I was also, for some reason that I don't think ever coalesced into a meaningful bit.
Yeah.
Was capturing every time they talked about Jack Reacher in the book, which they did several times.
I love it. I really loved it. He like treats Jack Reacher as like some kind of god.
Yeah, that's his
He always
model.
Like he prays to Jack Reacher. It's really funny.
So I just managed to catch a passage about Jack Reacher, but not a burn. So I guess I didn't have a burn this week.
Okay, I'm going to put this baby on the... Hang on. Give me one second.
I think maybe I thought Jack Reacher could be incorporated. Like, here's a romance novel, right? Beach Read?
Yeah.
And they talk about Jack Reacher nonstop. And it's like, I didn't know that was allowed.
Yeah.
And now that I know that, I'm going to find ways to talk about Jack Reacher in Love in the Time of Horses.
Yes.
As much as I possibly can.
And going forward, just in general. Like,
yeah,
Jack
yeah, yeah.
Reacher is now in... God, you're so covered in this. Oh, my God. This is the thing about bedding fielding. No, the poop is off, but in the process of getting the poop off, the pee is everywhere. Because once he's free,
right.
You know, he's like... And he does,
that's bedding fielding, though.
He's stopped, completely
yeah, of course he
crying.
Is.
He's having the time of his damn life.
The rest is still unwritten, you know? Like... He's got his whole life ahead
let
of
me
him.
Let me read this out so I can tend to this.
Yeah, please.
Tanner, thank you so very much for bearing with me. Love Babies, thank you so much for bearing with us. We love and kiss you so very much. Please subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. And we're talking about the TGIF shows now, Full House, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, Just the Ten of
Us, et cetera.
And we are having such a very good time, and we would love for you to join us. If you've been hesitant up until now, it's only $5 a month. Check it out. It's a fun show. Everyone's having a blast. It's called Oh God, It's Friday. We got a funky little theme song, and we're having
we sing together.
The time of our lives. Join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Rate and review our show wherever you rate and review
and rate it well.
And tell a friend
yeah.
about our show. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. That novel was called Beach Read by Emily Henry. I really liked it. It was a good one. I recommend it. Recommend a lot of these books. But this one I think you'll really like, even if you're not necessarily like a huge fan of the genre. I thought this was just a really good
Definitely one. I would say a spiritual sequel to Rescuing Roxy, the male gamer harem fantasy novel.
Yeah, and the Jack Reacher novel Killing Point.
And Jack Reacher's, so you'll probably want to check those out. First.
Next week we're reading a movie.
We're watching City of Angels.
That's not romance.
He falls in love with the
That's
with
not
the
what
Meg
romance
Ryan
is. It's not a happy ending. They die on a bike. Here are the ones I wrote down. When Harry Met Sally, The Holiday, She's the Man, Twilight, The Princess Diaries, Ever After, Bride and Prejudice. Or
did we just watch When Harry Met Sally?
We can do City of Angels. Let's do City of Angels.
No, I'm not going to do it because you're being so difficult about it.
Next week, we're watching City of Angels, and it's not a romance, but that's what we're talking about.
City of Angels. Let's see what it's listed as.
It's not a romance.
Angel. No, that can't be right. Romantic fantasy film.
Yeah, but she dies on a bike.
Everyone dies, Jack. Guess what? January and Gus from this book are going to die someday.
Okay, fine. Next week...
It's just true of everyone. No one can escape
it. We're watching City of Angels. Look forward to that. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And we're the Swoon Daddies.
Yeah, and we're also Horny Jack and Horny Tanner. And
I hope you have your happily ever after.
Oh, is that you're testing that
You were
out.
Supposed to come out with an outro. You were supposed
I hated
to. You
that
were supposed
one.
To come up with it. We might be childhood friends.